Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you very much, Mark Ramsey, and thank you for joining us for another Ram Radio, the webcast. Here in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America, in this Western Hemisphere, living during these very terrible times that we live in, isn't it? This is the Biblical Alternative on this Thursday, July the 25th, 2013. Remember our admonition, and it's one that is deemed perfect for the time that we live in. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we must sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. Set him aside. Set him apart, especially when it comes to ministering that word to other people that wants to know about God, reality, righteousness, moral judgment, and the like. Why do we do this? Because we must always be ready to make a defense to every person that wants to ask us to give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence. Now, that gentleness I have problems with because I'm frustrated with Christianity, not Christianity itself, but the people that call themselves Christians. How dare you call yourself a Christian and do some of the unspeakable things that you do? And it's done repeatedly without even thinking about it. That's why I always try to quote my little dictum here, that I live in a world of professing Christians, but the true believer must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. Now, this is what I call a divine absolutism, and it must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Into the Word speaks to these particular absolutes, into the Word as any other true, authentic, genuine Christian ministry must look at God's Word as the highest standard which directs the life of the person that says that they believe in God. Let's just keep this plain and clear. We cannot attempt to minister to others unless we define who we are by what we believe as we stay into the Word. And I don't mean just open it up and look at it and try to find some particular denominational teachings and things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, being real with it. Well, going to have a good time, but you're going to have to give me an opportunity to pause because I got about three computers up and I was working here in the office and I forgot to save my flowchart for the ethics class. So let me do that, then I'll be right back. In your case, it'll just be a few seconds. All right, I'm back on track. Thank you for coming to the site. Thank you for listening to some of the clips that I've had up over the years. Thank you for abiding and believing in me. I just want to say that I receive letters from time to time. Time to time speaking with me, telling me about how much they appreciate the programs that I do. And I just want to respond a little bit to, I think, a wonderful letter that I received recently. And, you know, sometimes I get letters that encourage me. At other times, I get discouraging correspondence. But I received a letter that encouraged me to continue to do what I'm doing in ministry for the sake of the love of some of the men that I have known over the years in my life. And even some of the men that I have not known or come into contact with. And I'm just so grateful that I can be able to help men out as they grow in grace. But this webcast entitled Honesty is being put together because of some correspondence that I received in order to affirm an individual in an institution of higher learning. First of all, I didn't know that the person was going to align themselves to this institution. Secondarily, the person that aligned himself to this institution in no way contacted me. And so therefore, when I received the correspondence, I had to write the coordinator and tell him that I have absolutely no dealings with this particular individual at all. And the reason that I do that now, and there was a time when a person could call my office and ask for a recommendation and like that, and then the person using the recommendation or wanting the recommendation could inadvertently come to my website and see that I'm a real person. Because every day, or hopefully every day, I'm putting up different webcasts corresponding to this biblical alternative. So the person could look at that and say, well, John Coleman does exist. He is a real person. He's an African American. He's dealing with true theology. But wait a minute. Don't ever affirm a person. If the person that he's asking to give you preference about, no. I was lecturing in my philosophy class last night, and I was sharing with them an incident that took place that I had to make a ruling on in my life and, of course, in the life of the other person. And basically what it meant that I would not be in any way established or connected with the other person at all. I did not want to be connected any longer. Now, this may to some of you seem to be relatively a new thing that Pastor John is going to. What do you mean you don't want to be connected to? Just exactly what I said. There's certain people I don't want to have any relationship with, any at all. And this just didn't come out of, you know, the blue. A little birdie did not tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, you don't want to have anything to do with this person. Because I'm not a crackpot. And I'll be 70 in February. I'm very busy. I'm thinking all the time, you know, as I used to tell people when I pastored, because if you don't know, I'm a retired pastor. I just quit. And why did I quit? I quit because I got tired of the hypocrisy. My goodness. And how hypocritical can you get to try to use me as a reference and don't even ask me for my permission to use me? This is ridiculous. When I was a young man coming up in life, I would say, now who could I use as a reference? I would never use a person as a reference that I personally don't want to have anything to do with, and know that the person doesn't want to have anything to do with me. See, I'm talking about honesty here. See, honesty. Now, when things happen like this, I see you as a person that is out of control. Okay? Out of control. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control. Self-control. Control yourself. You know you don't have a relationship with this person, but you're going to use this person's name to make you look better. That is unchristian. That is a lie. That is not being honest. That is not to be done. When you come to Into the Word Apologetics, I'm going to let you know what is proper and what is improper. I don't need a church. I don't need a pulpit to do it. Look at the hits on my website. There's enough people coming here listening. For those of you that come here and hear this kind of discourse or dialogue, if you will, and you don't particularly care for it, don't tap into it. But when you come here and listen to a webcast, it will not be phony-wony please do not use my name or your time sitting in the classroom unless you can say that you have an honest, ongoing, living association with me. And when I die, I don't know what's going to happen to my website. My daughters will probably shut it down for good. And you know that this voice is in a coffin, silence, and maggots is eating up my vocal cords, and my brain and my heart and my soul has gone to be with him. Who knows that I will always, always tell the truth. Now, I believe that every bona fide, genuine, authentic, born again, washed in the blood, saved by the Lamb, and all of those terms, believers, are just like me. And if you're not just like me, and I know a lot of you don't like that kind of talk, because I have in my little paragraph, this divine absolutism must be affirmed. See, this is an absolute. You will, if you're associated with me, be just like me. If I'm your Bible teacher, I expect you to quote Bible just like me. Don't put your spin on it. Because putting your spin on it, you may be lying. I don't put my spin on it. When God says, thou shalt not, what do you think he meant? He meant, thou shalt not. Reading from Zechariah 8 and 14. And it says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I purpose to do harm to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, I have not relented. In other words, God is saying, I haven't repented on what I said I was going to do. I did it to your fathers. I would do it to you. And now what makes you think that God's character is ambiguous? That God's word are like the words of one that speaks on a slippery slope. It is not. Now, I'm going to make this perfectly clear. And those of you that know me know the way I am. I've always been this way. If you know me, to know me is to love me. If I know you as a person, not a companion in arms, because I'm not linking my arms, walking, leaning to the left and to the right with you singing Kumbaya. No, I'm not going to do that. If you know me as a human being, and I know you as a human being, and you're truthful with me, and I am truthful with you, we will correspondingly be that way in all of our reactions. I was talking with a young man about a week ago, and he said, why do you sound like you're conflicted about this? Tell me what you mean. Those were the terms that he used. When the young man, I believe he's 22, 23, said that to me, it forced me to get real and said, I want to apologize to you. I was not telling you the truth. This is what I really feel. Boom, 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 boom. And then the guy said, that's more like it. Now I understand you. Please, Christians, we're to be like that all the time. There's no fear in telling the truth. There's no ambiguity in what we mean. If you are a friend of this man, PJ, that's what they call me, Pastor John. I have it on my license plate, PJs. Okay, when I talk with people on email that I know, that I care for, that I affirm, they affirm me as PJ, I sign off as PJ. You know who I am. Why would you do something without advising me? And then I'm contacted by an outside party. You're a dishonest person. You're a dishonest person. I would never, ever do that. That would be like myself visiting an institution, let's say visiting my old seminary, Talbot. And I met two or three professors of theology. and I want to put on my resume or my whatever I'm doing to try to attend somewhere or get something from somewhere, I would name drop. But I have no affinity with those names that I dropped. That's dishonest. Now, again, there needs to be some, John, I'm sorry for using your name like that. I would think that you would affirm me. I'm not going to affirm you based upon the last conversation that we had. I'm still waiting on an answer to that and an apology. I don't affirm anyone that has, can you believe this? People will do that to you every day of the week, and they will call themselves by the name Christian. That is wrong. And this isn't, let's just be honest with it. Is that right or wrong? That is wrong. That is dishonest. Now listen. Titus chapter 2, starting with verses 2 through 6 says, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, and sound in the faith, and in love and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to, check this out, love their husbands and children, and to be controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Sincerely encourage young men to be self-controlled. Self-control. Now, you would expect him to say young and old men, but old men know better. But the admonition from this person in the first century to a young Christian man was to get control of yourself. Now, I think if there's any classes to take anywhere, and I teach it, I teach ethics. As a matter of fact, I was looking wholeheartedly at some of the lectures that I was on, and I think it's appropriate for me to talk about that right now during this part of the webcast. I was on chapter 10 of a text that I teach in philosophy, Elements of Moral Philosophy by James Rachels and Stuart Rachels, and chapter 10 in this particular sixth edition is called Kant and Respect of Persons. And I find this to be a very interesting text because what he does is he says that, well, let me read it to you. Kant thought that human beings occupy a special place in creation. Of course, he was not alone in thinking this. From ancient times, humans have considered themselves to be essentially different from all other creatures, and not just different, but better. In fact, humans have traditionally thought themselves to be quite fabulous. Oh, yes, yes, Kant certainly did. On this view, human beings have, this is what Kant said, Kant, if you will, he said that humans have an intrinsic worth or dignity that makes them valuable above all price. Now, I believe that. And I believe that humans have the moral capacity to know when to do right and when not to do wrong. Oh, yes, there are times to do wrong. If you look at the illustration of Anne Frank, the Jewish girl that was hid by her Gentile neighbors from the Nazis, she was finally turned in. Who was the guilty person that caused Anne Frank to be caught? Mm-hmm. Was it the policeman that was doing the searching from house to house? No, it wasn't that. No, no. Was it the person that had them hid in the house that that can be found guilty of turning her in? No, no. Who was it? It was the Christians in the community that knew where Anne Frank was, that spoke out about it and told, because they misjudged what telling the truth meant. If telling the truth meant the death of an innocent individual by a tyrant, ought we tell the truth? See, I think that we as Christians know how to think rationally about what is abominable and turning someone in for something as cheap as that. But I'm telling you, when it comes to ministry, that office of ministering to other people is an office of integrity. And I don't take it light when someone uses my name in any way. I want the people that have nothing to do with me. What I mean by that, and I want some of you to listen because you're still listening to me, but you don't want to have anything to do with me. You basically find me disgusting. You obviously do. I want you to cut all ties with me and let me float along. I can do my Christianity on my own. I've done it all of my life on my own. God just happened to call me to be a Bible teacher and a pastor, one who loves his word and one who loves to tell the truth, one who can put Bible studies together. By the way, to those of you that are my Bible study students that were coming to my home for the Bible study on Wednesday, after my vacation this August, I will start up the Bible study again. But I need rest after summer school. So you've got to give me some rest before I start the new schedule and then to start up my Bible study again. It's been well over a month, going on two, since I've had a Bible study in my home for my students. The Bible study lessons that I've given you students that you've taken notes from, meet with each other, go over those lessons, rehearse them in your mind, learn the principles of it, and so that when you come back to the classroom, you will be ready afresh to study the Word of God anew. That's what I ask you to do. But please, be honest. When you come back, if you do not want to attend my Bible studies, you are free not to attend them. I love you. I always will. But I need a rest. I do these webcasts because I have to. I have people that respect me and love me that I don't even know about. See, I don't even know where they are, who they are, but I'm going to continuously preach and teach what I've always done all of my life because I may possibly be talking with somebody that used to know me, but for some reason can't get in touch with me. And so I am speaking with them. They don't need to say anything to me. I don't need to say anything to them. My biblical authenticity stands firm. But when someone that was communicating with me and has been told by me, I no longer want communications with you because of something that was inappropriate. Don't try to use me as a cosign on your life, because that is not what true biblical friendship is all about. That is deceit. And if you deceive me, you will find yourself deceiving others. You can ask me any question you want to, and I'll tell you the answer. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not trying to deceive you. As a matter of fact, when you continue with Kant's teaching here, with Immanuel Kant on this respect of persons, there's another philosopher, truly a humanist, Jeremy Bentham, and he had a point. He said, punishment by its nature always involves inflicting some harm on the person punished. As a society, Bentham says, we punish people by making them pay fines or go to prison or even sometimes by killing them. How can it be right to treat people in these ways? Now, this is what a utilitarian asks. And a utilitarian is about happiness. See, happiness for the cause of happiness. Whatever it takes to be happy, do it. Say it. Use whatever you can. Use whatever means you can, because happiness is the highest good. Fill your heart with eudaimonia, happiness, what's right for you. Use basic, simple subjectivism to justify yourself. Let your psychological egoism take you to another degree. See, I know these terms because I'm a teacher. And when I see it come across my desk in any form, in any way, from professing Christians. See, I may teach philosophy. I don't believe in it. I'm a Christian first. But I understand worldly philosophy. And when it comes my way, it outrages me. Why do I make a webcast of it? I want it to outrage you. Keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. We cannot attempt to minister to others unless we define who we are by what we believe. See, I'm speaking for me. I can't speak for you. I can't do that at all. I can only speak for me. Now, as we continuously go from day to day, and you come to my website and you listen to some of the articles, you read some of the comments, and you see what Pastor John is trying to say, I want you to know that nothing has changed. I have always been this free-thinking person who doesn't need to think in group. Now, let me share with you what I mean by that to many of you that may not fully understand me. Some people cannot function properly unless they are functioning as a part of a group think process. I don't do that. And I think over the years that offended many of the people in the churches that I was in, especially in Baptist churches, because, you know, they have these committee meetings and these things. Well, we're going to meet in committee and we're going to talk about these situations. No. I'm not talking about anything. You tell me what you think the principle is. I'm going to think about the principle. I'm going to analyze it in my head, and then I'm going to say yay or nay. I'm going to say yes or no about what's happening. And then I'm going to go on from there. That's what I'm going to do. That's where I've always been. I don't think in group. And now here it is. I think you ought to be what? Just like me. I don't think you should think in group. Because when you think in group and get with a bunch of church people, you're going to start talking church language. Church language is not real talk. And real talk is the kind of talk that will make you tell the truth. So let's tell the truth. If you don't like me as a human being, as a person, as a black man, as a pastor, and I'm talking with anybody that hears it, because I want the whole world to know, I don't care anything about what you think about me. I know on whom I believe. I will prove it to you by showing you the way I live. Now, if you know something about the way I'm living that is wrong, I want you to present the evidence in living color and give it to me. Present the evidence. If you cannot present the evidence in living color, continue to wag your tongue. I know. I don't even care. Now, someone asked me, well, Mr. Coleman, one of my students in philosophy, Mr. Coleman, aren't you really concerned about how the majority of people feel about you as a professional? I says, no. I says, my boss here at this college can check my record. My classes are always filled at the end of the semester. I give Fs in my classroom and I give As in my classroom. Only a few students complain, the ones that didn't do the work in the beginning and has a D or a low C or a fail. They're the ones that's always complaining because they didn't do the work. But ask the students that turn in each assignment on time. Ask the student that complies with everything that I say. Ask the student that I give a second chance to write an essay to clean it up. One student I gave three opportunities, three ops to rewrite. They still didn't do it right. I just gave them maybe 10 more points for the attempt to rewrite, but they didn't get it. I asked one student to give me a rewrite. He gave me a rewrite. His paper was twice as good. I couldn't give him the solid 300 on it because it was a rewrite. But it was absolutely perfectly done, just the way I expected it. Now, when I was in the church and I asked people to correspondingly do that for me, and they did not do it that way, why would I have that person working next to me? Why? Because I'm working in a field, when I'm working in Christian ministry, you cannot make an error in this. This has to be exactly the way it's supposed to be. I had one of my students that used to take Bible study contact me and ask me, did I hear about the new show about the black extravagant preachers that will be coming on one of the new cable networks, Noel Jones, Clarence McClendon, and three other black preachers. They're going to be showcasing these preachers and how they live, the cars they drive, and their mansions, and all of that, and them having conversations with the women in their lives. And in some of them, one of the wives said to the pastor in this preview, don't treat me like one of your members. I'm not one of your members. I mean, right there, I would have told that woman, you shut up. You don't talk to me like that. I'll treat you like one of my disobedient members because that's what you are, the wretched person that you are. I don't know why I married you. Now, did you know that my wife of 34 years, God rest her sweet soul, never spoke to me like that? So if you're looking for a game show Christianity, you can go to practically any church in town because they all are acting like they are reading a script. And I'm telling you the truth. I have no script in front of me. I've been talking 31 minutes and 34 seconds with no script in front of me. Some of the things that I'm talking about here are rudimentary. And what I mean by rudimentary is that those are the simple, basic, bottom line dispositions, attitudes, or correlations with human responsibility that I'm talking about here, especially if we're talking about friendship amongst ourselves as Christians. Not talking about friendships like non-Christian friendships, because non-Christian friendships can hinge upon, well, what's in it for me? See, and that's a very interesting concept, because once you begin to try to answer the question of what is in it for you, then you are going to selfishly, now listen to me, selfishly use everything in your life for your benefit without regarding the other person. That is not being honest. Nobody wants to be around a dishonest person. All right? And so I believe that there should be, as Kant believes, I believe that there should be a retribution for that kind of disposition, for that kind of attitude. Now, let me say this and make it perfectly clear. As a free will agent, and that's what each of us are. Now, if you're a child, if you're living in the house with a parent, and you're an adolescent, and you don't have the right or the monies to be free or the things to, you're not free, then you're obligated to another person. But once you become an adult and you're out on your own and you're working, you're paying taxes, you're responsible, you got a wife or you got a husband or you got children and you're responsible for some other's lives, then you are a responsible adult, and there is just a normative type of behavior that should come from you as a professing Christian. And even as a human being, let's just take it to that degree. Let's take it all the way to that degree. There is something that you ought to be. So let's start and end this. You ought to be honest. Be honest. I just got off of a phone call with someone. And we had a very rewarding conversation because we were both honest. We were honest about this weekend coming up, let's say, honest about it. And if you're not honest about some things, you're going to have difficulties in coordinating your particular efforts. Honesty is what I'm aiming at here. Now, if persons other than us are not honest, I can give acquiescence to that. But us, this is a quality trait that is most outstanding. I cannot end this webcast unless I, and you know, I'm tempted to give you this big broad Bible verse and give you, you know, all these parables that Jesus said, but you know all those things already. You know all of that. I'm not going to go into an ancient text that I believe in, that I believe is put there for very good illustrations to help us in this 21st century that we're living in. But it is honesty that I'm looking for as a man. I'm looking for honesty, and I'm looking for transparency. Transparency means I can see through you. I don't have to guess what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. Exactly what you mean by what you say. So this honesty and or this transparency is very, very important when it comes to establishing Christian relationships with each other, because we're to expect nothing but honesty from our fellow brother or sister in Christ. All right, let me make it clearer than that. We are to expect honesty. Listen to me. We are to listen to me and stop trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. Just listen. We are to expect honesty from every side, from anyone that is supposed to be united with the Christian example. They want to talk with you. If I tell a person, I don't want to speak with you anymore because of this, and until you address this, you don't speak with me. You don't have anything to do with me. You don't correspond with me until you handle this. And then you tell that person, I am the authority in this matter. You're not. You will listen to authority. See, that's what the whole Bible thing is all about. This whole God idea is that God is running things. You're not. God is in charge of this. Now, what he allows us to do is he allows us to make our plans amongst ourselves. If it doesn't involve him, we can do that. Every decision that I make, I'm not asking God's, if I'm going to take a holiday weekend off in the right before my semester comes to an end, I don't have to tell God or ask God where I should go or what I want to do. If someone wants to make my weekend a little better than the last weekend, I'm not going to go to God about that, because that's not a matter that I do that. I go to God about moral issues. About questions of humanity. I go to God about, well, how should I treat my neighbor? How should I correspond with the person that's an enemy of mine? I go to God about things like that. How should I correspond when I meet another man's wife that is just gorgeous? She is beautiful, and I can't take my eyes off of her. That's what I go to God about. Because I don't want him to black my eye if he see me looking at his woman. No, see, I'm going to be honest with you. I am not going to say that I can look at a beautiful person and disregard their beauty. I'm not going to lie to you. Because as a Christian, I am an honest man. And I expect every other Christian man around me to be honest. I'll tell you a story. When I was in seminary, I forget who he was. It was one of my professors. And he was talking to us, and I was already a pastor, but I was older when I went to seminary. I was in my late 30s and early 40s when I went to seminary. So he would tell us, and I was a little older than him, But I let him talk because he's a professor. I didn't challenge what he said, but he said, whatever you do, don't tell people in your congregation about your weak points, where you're weakened. He said, whatever you do, don't share with people about your weak points, where you fail the Lord, because that may discourage them. And I thought about that. I said, why would I not tell them? I want to tell them about my struggles. What does he want me to let them think? That I'm better than they are? In no way am I better than they are. I will tell them about when I'm swept off my feet. I'm not going to do the Jimmy Swaggart. I'm not going to get up in front of them and cry if I'm caught in some sin. I have sinned. I would say, I haven't sinned. I did that because I rightly knew what I was doing, wanted to do it. I'm a grown behind man, and I did it. And you know what? I'm thinking about it now. I should not have done it. I should not have done it. That was wrong for me to do, and I'm glad God didn't kill me, and I hope you people can forgive me. But if you cannot forgive me, I'm going to just go on with my life, because I'm not going to let my wrongdoing stop me from doing right with God for the rest of my life. You see what I'm talking about? That's Christianity. All this other stuff, I'm not crying in front of you. I'll let you know that I'm remorseful. I may not show it to you. I show that to God, because you can only judge me on a human basis. God can judge me eternally and send me to a burning, scorching hell. I believe that and know that, and will not play with God. And I'm not even thinking about you. See, now that makes some people dislike you when you talk to them like that. But I was honest. What would you rather? Would you rather an honest confrontation or the BS approach? This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio. I know it's gruff, it's rough. I know it's a kind of language that's going to make you go, whoop. No, I don't want you to go whoop. I want you to get real, because that's why you've come to my site, which is the Biblical Alternative. Of course, I'm open for comments. But remember, if your comments are detrimental to the thing that I'm trying to teach the true believers on how to get along in this life in biblical